The caravans coming up from Egypt and going on down through the rocky wilderness to Sagafa on the Red Sea brought them regular news from Mother Egypt. When another arrived, Taita sent Merin down to converse with the caravan master. They all treated Merin with deep respect, for they knew he was the confidant of Taita, the renowned Magus. That evening he returned from the town and reported, "Obed Tindali, the caravan merchant, begs you to remember him in your prayers to the greater god Horus. He has sent you a generous gift of the finest quality coffee beans from far-off Ethiopia, but I warn you now to steel yourself, Magus, for he has no tidings of comfort from the delta for you." The old man lowered his eyes to hide the shadow of fear that passed behind them. What worse news could there be than they had already received? He looked up again and spoke sternly. "Do not try to protect me, Merin. Hold nothing back. Has the flood of the Nile commenced?"
"Not yet," Merin replied softly, regretfully. 7 years now without the inundation."
Taita's stern expression wavered. "Without the rise of the waters and the rich, fertile bounty of alluvial soils they brought from the south, Egypt was given over to famine, pestilence, and death."
"Magus, it grieves me deeply, but there is still worse to relate," murmured Merin. "What little water still remains in the Nile has turned to blood."
Taita stared at him. "Blood," he echoed. "I do not understand."
"Magus, even the shrunken pools of the river have turned dark red, and they stink like the congealed blood of cadavers," Merin said. "Neither man nor beast can drink from them. The horses and cattle, even the goats, are perishing from the thirst. Their skeletal bodies line the river banks."
"Plague and affliction. Such a thing has never been dreamed of in the history of the earth since the beginning of time," Taita whispered.
"And it is not a single plague, Magus," Merin went on doggedly. "From the bloody pools of the Nile have emerged great hordes of spiny toads, large and swift as dogs. Rank poison oozes from the warts that cover their hideous bodies. They eat the corpses of the dead animals. But that is not enough. The people say great Horus should forbid it, that these monsters will attack any child or any person who is too old or feeble to defend himself. They will devour him while he still writhes and screams." Merin paused and drew a deep breath. "What is happening to our earth? What dreadful curse has been placed upon us, Magus?" In all the decades they had been together since the great battle against the usurpers, the false pharaohs, since the ascension of Nefer-Seti to the double throne of Upper and Lower Egypt, Merin had been at Taita's side. He was the adopted son who could never have sprung naturally from Taita's gilded loins. Nay, Merin was more than a son. His love for the old man surpassed that of a blood tie. Now Taita was moved by his distress, although his own was as pervasive. "Why is this happening to the land we love, to the people we love, to the king we love?" Merin pleaded. Taita shook his head and remained silent for a long while. Then he leant across to touch Merin's upper arm. "The gods are angry," he said. "Why?"
Merin insisted. The mighty warrior and stalwart companion was rendered almost childlike by his superstitious dread.
"What is the offence?"
"Since our return to Egypt, I have sought the answer to that question. I have made sacrifice, and I have searched the breadth and depth of the skies for some sign. The cause of their divine anger eludes me still. It is almost as though it is cloaked by some baleful presence."
"For Pharaoh and Egypt, for all of us, you must find the answer, Magus," Merin urged. "But where can you still search for it?"
"It will come to me soon, Merin. This is presaged by the auguries. It will be carried by some unexpected messenger, perhaps a man or a demon, a beast or a god. Perhaps it will appear as a sign in the heavens, written in a star. But the answer will come to me here, at Galala."
"When, Magus? Is it not already too late?"
"Perhaps this very night."